saying of the author, the Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, and to have iman, to have true faith, in the qisas, in the retribution, the retaliation, and to have iman in retribution, the qisas, on the day of resurrection, between all of the creation, the descendants of Adam, the beasts of prey, the reptiles, even between the tiniest ants, until Allah the Mighty and Majestic brings about retribution between them. For the people of paradise, from the people of the fire. And for the people of the fire, from the people of paradise. And for the people of paradise, from each other. And for the people of the fire, from each other. Sheikh Farzan, hafizahullah, he said in explanation, it is already preceded that Allah will resurrect the creation on the day of resurrection in order to recompense them, in order for jaza, to give them their due deserts, their due reward, in order to recompense them for their good deeds and their evil deeds with regard to the descendants of Adam. For the descendants of Adam, for mankind, the resurrection will be there for jaza, giving out of rewards or punishment for their deeds. And he said, and for qisas, for retribution, retaliation, revenge, to be established with regard to, again, the descendants of Adam, and for the animals. So the animals will be resurrected for retribution, retaliation, only. Whereas the descendants of Adam will be resurrected for recompensing and retaliation between them. In other words, as for the animals, they'll be raised for one purpose only. Animals will be raised so that any justice can be established between them. Any animal that harmed another animal, justice will be established. Revenge will be taken, and that will be the end of them. As for mankind, then they will be raised for that same purpose, for revenge between them, any retaliation that's necessary, any wrongdoing that needs to be put right, first purpose. And then secondly, for jaza, for recompense for their good deeds and their bad deeds, for those two purposes for mankind. Sheikh Barzan said, he's saying, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِالْقِصَاصِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بَيْنَ الْخَلْقِ كُلِّهِمْ بَنِي آدَمَ وَالسِّبَاءِ وَالْبَهَائِمِ. And to have iman in the retribution on the day of resurrection between all of the creation, the descendants of Adam and the wild animals, the beasts of prey, and the animals. He said all of them will be raised, Sheikh Razan said all of them will be raised for al-qisas, retribution between them. Retaliation, retribution between them. As for the animals, then when vengeance has been taken from some for others, then they will end up being turned to dust. But as for the descendants of Adam, then they will be in two groups. A group will be in paradise, and a group will be in a blazing fire. And they will not die after that, ever. They will remain forever, either in paradise or in the fire. He said, he's saying, حتى للذرة من الذرة. Even to the extent that retaliation will be taken for the tiniest ant from the other tiniest ant. One ant who wronged another ant, harmed it, or the like. Even to that extent, justice will be established. Sheikh Farzan said, to the extent that al-dharra, the tiniest ant, which is a small ant, it will gain vengeance, they will gain vengeance over each other. Because Allah does not consent to dhulm, to oppression, to wrong, to oppression, ever. Allah does not consent to oppression, ever. Because he is the most just and wise of judges, and he is the most just arbitrator. So He does not consent to zulm, to oppression. Even between the animals and the tiny ants, on the day of resurrection, they will be resurrected. Then vengeance will be taken for some from others. Vengeance will be taken from some upon others. As for the believers, the mu'minun, as for the believers, then the first matter concerning which retribution will be taken between them on the day of resurrection will be with regard to the shedding of blood from the rights of mankind. And they will take revenge upon each other after they have crossed over the sirat, over the bridge. This is the believers, or with regard to the believers. They will take retribution from each other after they have crossed over the sirat, over the bridge, over hellfire, after they have crossed them. And before they enter into paradise, they will be stopped, and retribution will be taken from some in favor of others. And then when they have been cleansed and purified, permission will be given to them to enter into paradise. Because no one will enter paradise whilst he has any act of oppression due upon him. Because paradise is the abode of those who are good and pure, and no one will enter it except those who are good and pure, those who have no reckoning left upon them, nor anything owed to anyone else, nor any sins. To the extent that the believer who is sinful will be punished in the fire in accordance with the level of his sin. Or otherwise, Allah will pardon him in accordance with his wish and will. In one of those two, he had sins, either that or that. Either he will enter the fire to purify from that sin, or Allah will pardon him. إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. سورة النساء, the fourth surah, I 48, with explanation. Allah does not forgive that others be associated along with him. He does not forgive that shirk is committed with him. But he forgives whatever is less than that to whomever he wishes. Shaykh Barzan said, if he wishes, in regard to any sins that are less than shirk, if he wishes, he will forgive him. And if he wishes, he will punish him in accordance with the level of his sins until he has been cleaned and purified from sins. Then he will enter into paradise. So no one will enter into paradise except one who is pure. Be it by recompense or by punishment. He will not enter paradise till he has been purified from whatever he needs to be purified from. Either it's sins or wrongdoing, oppression against the people, which is recompense through qisas, retribution. He said, he's saying, حَتَّى يَأْخُذَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لِبَعْضِهِ مِنْ بَعْضٍ وَلِأَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ وَلِأَهْلِ النَّارِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. To the extent that Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, will take or will bring about retribution between them, for some from others, and for the people of paradise from the people of the fire, and for the people of the fire from the people of paradise. Shaykh Farzan said, so the believer, if he has wronged a disbeliever, then retribution will be taken for the disbeliever from him on the day of resurrection. And the opposite, and vice versa. The disbeliever, if he has wronged a believer, then retribution will be taken for the believer on the day of resurrection. So no one will be just left having acts of oppression left upon him. And to the extent that the believer will be avenged upon the believer. That's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends the explanation of that point. As for the explanation of Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, then he said with regard to this point, he said that occurs in the hadith that Allah the Mighty and Majestic will call out on the Day of Resurrection and say, Ana al-Malik, Ana al-Dayyan, that I am the King. I am the one who brings about retribution. And it is not befitting that anyone from the people of the fire should enter the fire whilst he has anything due from the people of paradise that is due to him. Nor is it befitting for anyone from the people of paradise to enter paradise whilst there is anything, any right due from him or someone from the people of the fire, until I take retribution for him, even if it is for a slap, even if it is for a single slap. He said, so we said, how will it be, my companions asked the question, how will it be when it is the case that we will come to Allah the Mighty and Majestic naked, uncircumcised and empty-handed? So he said, how can the retribution be? We'll have nothing. He said, bil hasanati wa sayyi'at, with good deeds and bad deeds. Good deeds and bad deeds. In a footnote, they mention that this hadith reported by Imam Ahmad from a hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, and declared authentic by Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah. The Shaykh said, so what's important is that they will not enter the paradise or the fire until the rights have been taken from them, from each other. So then when they have been purified and cleansed, then the people of paradise will be entered into paradise and the people of the fire into the fire. And success is granted by Allah. As for the next point which Imam al-Barbahari brings, and point number 52, وَإِخْلَاصُ الْأَمَلِ لِلَّهِ, and to make one's deeds purely and sincerely for Allah. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, making one's deeds purely and sincerely for Allah, such that there is no shirk in it. So Allah will not accept any action except that which is done purely and sincerely for his face, having no shirk in it, no association of others along with him in it. And this is one of the two conditions for an action to be acceptable. And the second condition is al-mutaba'ah. So first is ikhlas, ikhlas al-amal, making the action purely and sincerely for Allah alone with no shirk in it. Said the second condition is al-mutaba'ah, following the example of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in doing that action. So the second condition is al-mutaba'ah, following of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sheikh Bazar said, and acting upon the Sunnah, such that the action is in conformity with the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such that it does not contain bid'ah, innovation. Because Allah does not accept innovations. Rather, He punishes for them. So even if a person exhausted himself in doing deeds which he did not make purely and sincerely for Allah, then they will be like scattered, they will be scattered dust. And if a person exhausted himself in doing a deed which was not in conformity with the Sunnah, then it will be rejected and it will not be accepted except along with these two conditions, al-ikhlasu lillah, that is done purely and sincerely for Allah alone, al-mutaba'ah lil-rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's done in conformity with the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh said, وقالوا قلت الآية وقالوا لن يدخل الجنة إلا من كان هودا أو نصارى تلك أمانيهم قل هاتوا برهانكم إن كنتم صادقين. بلى. Sheikh brought the ayat, ayat 111 and 112 from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah. So he quotes the first ayat with explanation. And they said, no one will enter before the book. They said, no one will enter paradise except for one who is a Jew or a Christian. That is their false hope. Say, bring your proof if you are speaking the truth. Bala, the explanation, rather, the Sheikh said, rather, this is to refute what they negate. So Bala, rather, the opposite is the case. This is to refute what they are negating. Meaning it will be entered by Man aslama wajhahu lillahi wa huwa muhsinun falahu ajruhu inda rabbi wa la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Surah Al-Baqarah, same surah, the next ayah, ayah 212, with the explanation, but it will be entered by whoever submits his face to Allah, and he is a doer of good. Then his reward will be with his Lord, and there will be no fear upon them, nor will they grieve. Sheikh Fazan said, explaining these phrases in the ayah, Man aslama wajhahu lillah, literally whoever submits his face to Allah, Sheikh Fazan said, meaning he makes his deeds purely and sincerely for Allah. Wa huwa muhsinun, literally, and he's a doer of good, one who perfects his worship. Sheikh Fazan said, meaning one who is following the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this applies to everyone, the Jews and the Christians and the rest of the world. It must be with these two conditions, al-ikhlas wa mutaba'ah. So this deed must be with purity and sincerity for Allah and with following of the messenger. Then the Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he moves on to a further point and said, وَرِضَى بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ. Point number 53, وَرِضَى بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ. And to be pleased and satisfied with the decree of Allah. Sheikh Fawzan said, وَرِضَى بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ. Having iman in al-qadha wal-qadr. Having iman, true faith in Allah's preordainment and pre-decree. This is a rukn, this is a pillar from the pillars of Iman, from the six pillars of Iman, which are, and tu'mina billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusuli wa tu'mina bil qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi. The six pillars of Iman, as mentioned by Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are that you have Iman, you have true faith in Allah, and in his angels, and in his books, and in his messengers, and likewise the mention of, that's not that doesn't occur here in the printed version, in the last day, and that you have true faith in al-qadr, pre-decree, the good of it, and the bad of it. In a footnote they mention, this is reported by Muslim, as hadith number 8, from a hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. This is a part of the famous hadith of Jibreel. Where Jibreel, alayhi salam, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the form of a man and asked him about Iman and Islam and Ihsan, the signs of the hour, the famous hadith. And this was the answer that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave when he was asked, what is Iman? What is true faith? And he replied that it is that you truly believe in Allah and in his angels and in his books and in his messengers and in the last day, and that you truly believe in pre-decree, the good of it and the bad of it. Sheikh Fazan said, explaining the point here, belief in pre-decree, he said, and it is that you believe that Allah has preordained all things and pre-decreed them. He the perfect and most high, always, and that he wrote them in the preserved tablet. If everything will occur, he decreed it would occur. And he wrote it down in the preserved tablet. And he created it and brought it into existence by his Mashiach, by his wish, he, the Perfect and Most High. And having Iman in pre-decree and pre-ordainment covers four matters, four levels, the four levels. And the Sheikh gives these four levels of pre-decree, these four things, these four levels, four matters that it's essential that a person has to truly believe in pre-decree, correctly believe in pre-decree. So it includes four levels, four matters. The first level is the level of al-ilm, the level of knowledge, which is that Allah knew by His eternal knowledge all things before they came into existence. And the second level is to have iman, to have true faith, that Allah wrote all things down in the preserved tablet, before they existed. He, the Most High, said, مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنْفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Surah Al-Hadid, the 57th Surah, Ayah 22. With the explanation, no calamity befalls upon the earth, nor in yourselves, except that it was written in a book before we brought it about. Indeed, that is easy for Allah. So in the third level, just mentioned the first two levels, the level of Allah's knowing everything, knowledge, Allah's knowing everything. Second, Al-Kitabah, Allah's writing everything down, so it's going to occur. Thirdly, he said, the third level is iman, to have true faith, that Allah willed and wished these newly occurring events, the level of Mashiach. Allah wished and willed whatever would occur. Said to have iman that Allah wished and willed these newly occurring events. Disbelief and true faith, obedience and disobedience, righteousness and wickedness, good and evil. All of that was willed and wished by Allah, by His will relating to the creation, His irada al-kawniyah, by His will that relates to creation. So nothing occurs within His sovereignty except that which He wills. However, He willed the good, and He willed iman, and He willed evil for a purpose. For a purpose. Evil would come about as well, for a purpose, for a hikmah, for a wise purpose, as a trial and a test. And why did Allah will that evil things which are evil with respect to creation, they should occur? He said, for a wise purpose, as a trial and as a test. So Allah willed that which is good, and He loves it and is pleased with it. And He willed that which is evil, but He does not love it, and He is not pleased with it. However, He willed it to occur for a wise purpose, and in order to test and to try. And if there were nothing except good, then there would be no distinction for anybody, and there would be no test and no trial. All of the people would be people of good then. And if there were nothing except evil, then there would be no distinction for anyone in performing righteous deeds. Sheikh Fawzan said, so this gives the result that Allah tries His servants to make clear the good from the foul and the believer from the disbeliever. And it is a trial and a test which He, the Perfect and Most High, brings about for them. And He did not create these things without purpose. So that's the third level, that whatever occurs, it occurs with the wish and will of Allah. Allah willed it to occur. The fourth level, the Shaykh said, is al-khalq wal-ijad, creation and bringing into existence. And whatever happens, Allah is the one who created it, and brought it into existence. He said, and everything that occurs, then Allah is its creator. And the actions of the servants, the actions of the people, are created by Allah. And they are actions done by the servant. They are created by Allah, the Majestic and Most High. Allah, the Majestic and Most High, says, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in wa huwa ala kulli shay'in wakil. Surah Zumar, the 39th Surah, Ayah 62. With the explanation, Allah is the creator of everything. And He is the trustworthy disposer of all affairs. Shaykh Razan said, and He the Perfect and Most High says, وَهُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ. Surah Yasin, the 36th Surah, Ayah 81. With explanation, and He, Allah, is the all-knowing creator who creates repeatedly. Shaykh Razan quotes a further ayah and said, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Surah Al-Saffat, the 37th Surah, Ayah 96, with explanation. And Allah created you, and whatever deeds you do. Shaykh Fawzan said, so they are things created by Allah, the Majestic and Most High, meaning the people's deeds, the deeds that they do, from good or evil. Their deeds are things created by Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And they are actions done by the servants, and things earned by the servants, by their own choice and will. They're not things that the servants are forced to do. No one can say that Allah created them, therefore the servants are forced to do them. No. Well, they're created by Allah, but the servant has a choice. They have free will. And by their choice and free will, they do those deeds, and they earn those deeds. And the Shaykh said, so the believer, the true believer, he believes in these four levels, al-ilm, wal-kitabah, wal-mashi'ah, wal-irada, al-khalq, wal-ijad. These four levels with regard to pre-decree, the believer believes in them. The level of knowledge, and the level of writing, and the level of wish and will, and the level of creation and bringing into existence. Then the Shaykh said, and then the believer is pleased and satisfied with pre-decree and preordainment when calamities occur. So he does not become extremely annoyed. He does not become annoyed and does not become vexed. He stops himself. He withholds himself from annoyance. And he withholds his tongue from complaining to other than Allah. And he withholds his hand from striking the cheeks and tearing the openings of the garments. So this is being pleased and satisfied with the preordainment and pre-decree. That you know, أَنَّمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ وَمَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ. Shaykh quoted the hadith, it is that you know. Being pleased and satisfied with pre-decree is that you know that whatever befalls you was never going to miss you. And whatever misses you was never going to happen to you. Just as the Prophet ﷺ said, and Iman will not be completed except with this. In the footnote they mentioned with regard to this hadith, that you know that whatever strikes you was never going to miss you. Whatever misses you was never going to come upon you. I mentioned in the footnote, this hadith is reported, obviously being part of the hadith, part of the famous hadith, is reported by Imam Ahmad in the Musnad, and Abu Dawud in the Sunan, and Ibn Majah in the Sunan, from a hadith of Ubadah ibn As-Samit, radiallahu anhu, and declared authentic by Ibn Hibban, and by Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, in his book, At-Tawheed. As a side point, also declared sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani, likewise. And just briefly before finishing then, from the explanation of Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, that's why Sheikh al-Fawzan ends explanation of that point. As for the explanation of Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, then he said, rida bi qada' Allah, of being pleased and satisfied with that which Allah has decreed should occur. This is a tremendous level. And what is meant by what is ordained should occur here? It is that it means that which a person has no action himself in bringing about, such as sickness, illness, and health, being rich or being poor, and death, and all of the calamities that occur, that which strike the person. And that's what's meant here by having being pleased and satisfied with that which Allah has decreed should occur. Like these things, the person doesn't earn by himself, they happen to him. Illness or good health, death, poverty, richness, so on. Calamities that occur, Sheikh said. So the people are divided into two categories with regard to them. Or it is to be said that the servant, the believer, the servant here, there are two states that he can have in this case. One of them is higher than the other. In the believer, when he's struck with a calamity, one of these calamities, he'll adopt one of two stances. One of them is higher than the other. The first of them is al-ridha, what's mentioned here, al-ridha, being pleased and satisfied with that. And it is the highest condition. The highest condition is that the calamity strikes, the person is satisfied with it, pleased and satisfied. Such that he is pleased with whatever Allah has decreed to occur, Allah the Mighty and Majestic. Whatever he has decreed for you, and whatever he provision he has given you a share of, and with whatever calamities he has ordained for you. So being pleased and satisfied with these decrees which strike the servant from coming from Allah. These are things which come purely from his decree. Neither the person himself nor anyone else can repel them. And being pleased with these decrees is a tremendous level. And it is an honourable state of the soul, such that the servant is hoping for the reward that will come about as a result of that calamity, after it strikes him. And he has patience, he is pleased with it, and he thinks only about the reward. Yes, pleased and satisfied with it, thinking of the reward for having patience upon it and being pleased with it. He said, such that if he were to be given a choice between receiving the reward for it or that calamity passing away, not occurring, then he would choose the reward instead. That's the first and the highest level. If he actually had a choice in the matter, you can have the calamity strike you, and you can have the reward for being patient upon it and being pleased, or not have the calamity strike. Which would you choose? Then he would truly choose the first. He would choose that the calamity strikes him, he has patience, and he gets the reward. That's what he would want. That's the highest level, that's the level of al-ridha, being pleased and satisfied. Then the Shaykh mentions the second level of the believer. He said, so, and if he is not from the people of ridha, those who are actually pleased with it, then at least let him be from the people of sabr. People have patience with it. People have patience upon it. This is the second level. So he still has patience when that is decreed to happen to him. So he bears it, hoping for reward for it. He's not fully happy about, fully happy like the first level, that was someone who is pleased and happy with it. Hopes for reward of that. Now the second level, but at the least, the second level, he has patience upon it and hopes for reward for that patience. And in submission to the decree and the ordainment, so Allah the Mighty and Majestic said, وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, Ayah 177. With the explanation, those people who have patience, those believers who have patience upon extreme poverty and illnesses, and upon at the time of fighting, they are the ones who are true, and they are the ones who are dutiful to Allah, who are taqwa. Likewise, the Shaykh said, and there occurs in the hadith, if Allah loves a people, he puts them to trial. So whoever is pleased, then Allah's pleasure is for him. And whoever is angry, then there is anger for him. And Allah is the one who grants success. In the footnote, they mention this hadith reported by Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah from a hadith of Anas and Imam Ahmad, also reported as a hadith of Mahmud ibn Labid, slightly different wording. The Shaykh indicates that Shaykh Albani authenticates the hadith. And then Shaykh Ahmad moves on to a final point here. He said, a point of note, it is not permissible to be pleased and satisfied with sins. And this is with regard to things that happen, the disasters that strike, calamities that strike a person. He said, it is not permissible to be pleased and happy with sins, nor to use pre-decree as an excuse for them. Rather, it is obligatory to strive to remove them and to stop them. And Allah the Most High says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ بِالنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ Surah Al-Imran, the third surah, ayah 110 onwards, with the explanation. That you are the best nation brought out for mankind. You truly believe, you are the best nation brought out for mankind. You command the good and you forbid the evil. And you truly believe in Allah. He said, and the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever amongst you sees an evil, let him change it with his hand. And if he is not able, then with his tongue. And if he is not able, then with his heart. For that is the weakest of iman. Hadith reported by Muslim. And the Shaykh gave an example. He said, and if it can be imagined, that the disbelievers occupy a land from the lands of the Muslims. Is it permissible that we should just say, this is a matter pre-decreed, and then be silent, leave it at that, and not strive to remove it, this evil, until we free the Muslims in their lands so that they are at peace from being overcome by the disbelievers? The answer is, it's not permissible for us to just be silent about that, nor that we should be pleased and happy with it, nor just have patience upon it. And Allah is the one who grants success. Alhamdulillah, sallallahu ala Muhammad, subhanallah wa bihamdih. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.